Lecture topic, do not taunt the sinner.
الحمد لله إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولا تقف ما ليس لك به علم إن السمع والبصر والفؤاد كل أولئك كان عنه مسؤولا وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم من ستر مسلما ستره الله في الدنيا والآخرة أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام Honorable scholars, respected brothers and elders, every one of us without exceptions are sinners. And sinners of the highest degree, like the poet says it, إِن تَغْفِرْ تَغْفِرِ اللَّهُمَّ جَمَّا وَأَيُّ عَبْدٍ لَكَ لَا أَلِمَّا O Allah, if you choose to forgive, then may we humbly implore you to forgive all of us. Which servant of yours is there, O Allah, who hasn't sinned against you? And I think it goes without saying, it is the inherent quality of every human, it is the passion of every sinner, that my sin remains a secret. You'll find many people very possessive over their phone. Nobody must lay their hands on that phone. Whatever is in there, he and Allah alone knows. At times they'll camouflage, at times they'll distort. Simply in the passion that my sin, my vice, my past, my mistakes remain a secret between me and my Allah. But again, there's no guarantee. There's no guarantee that we can safeguard our weaknesses from the knowledge and the vision of others. Yes, we learn from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there is a particular formula. There is a particular formula that if we adopt it, Allah takes it upon himself that he will divinely conceal our faults. Ideally, we need to abandon that wrong. But then again, how many of us are abandoning our wrong? Ideally, we forsake and abandon the wrong. But what is the formula by virtue of which Allah takes it upon himself to conceal our faults? Man satara musliman satarahu Allah fi dunya wal akhirah. The one who will passionately conceal and cover the faults and the weaknesses of his brother, Allah says, I take it upon myself that I will passionately conceal your faults from the knowledge of others. The riwayat of Abu Dawud, man satara awrata mu'minin. The one who conceals the fault of his brother, فَكَأَنَّمَا إِسْتَحْيَا مَؤُودَةً مِّنْ قَبْرِهَا enjoys the reward of reviving a dead person. Now we know the pagans Arab had this evil practice of burying their daughters alive. And the Prophet ﷺ says that if you cover and conceal the fault of someone, it is as good as giving life to a dead person. The scholars explain why. Because a person has a particular social standing. He enjoys certain privileges that is afforded to him in relation to the merit that people know about him. If you expose that wrong of his, he loses his social standing. He might ideally lose his job. He might ideally lose all the privileges which is tantamount to death for him. Which is tantamount to death. But preserving it and concealing it and covering it enables him to still enjoy that social standing in society, which is a new life to him, which is a new life to him. We've been exhorted and encouraged on every front that we mutually learn to conceal the faults of one another. The Quran describes the relation between husband and wife in the following verse. هُنَّ لِبَاسٌ لَكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لِبَاسٌ لَهُنْ هُنَّ لِبَاسٌ لَكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ Allah says, you are a garment unto her, and so is she a garment unto you. Now explore the wisdom of this description as elaborated by the scholars of tafsir. Amongst many, one which is relevant to my discussion, that Allah says, you are her garment. And one of the fundamental objects of the uniform and the outfit you wear is that it covers your body. So a person might have scars, he might have wounds, perhaps he had a bypass, but he puts on a beautiful, he clads himself in beautiful clothes, and immediately he presents as a young, talented, well-dressed person, not knowing of the scars and the marks and the wounds he has on his body. And that is what marriage ought to do. You might have a negative past, but your wife is there to defend you, to keep your honor, to preserve your honor. And so are you there, my brother, to defend her honor. I'm afraid to say I have been involved in many, many marital cases. And I've been called to intervene and arbitrate. And when it becomes ugly, excuse the metaphor, everything is vomited out. Things that are long gone and forgotten and past are brought up. For what reason? What pleasure do you derive in exposing? So we've been encouraged to conceal the faults of one another. If you study the Kitab Adabul Muta'allimin, which is the etiquette of a learner and a student, and this is a very, very vital ingredient. During my days of studying, and I still consider myself as a student, but very passionately when I was a formal student, I used to recite this dua. And this again, let me not digress, but makes a key difference between an Islamic education and an academic education. If you study the kitabs which encourage students that are acquiring the sciences of Islam, then there are certain code of conduct that they got to comply with their teacher. And you will find one thing that features in all books is that a student should make this dua daily. Allahumma astur anni aiba muallimi. Oh Allah, conceal the wrongs of my teacher from my eyes. Oh Allah, let me not see the weaknesses of my ustad. He's a human, he's prone to make mistakes. He's bound to make mistakes. If I get exposed to that wrong, in my human reaction, my respect for him will drop. That's human, it goes without saying. No sooner do I lose respect, immediately that bars my prosperity. That, withholds my benefit. And that is why the scholars, I've heard this from one of my great scholars, that there are two people that tend to get deprived from great people. A person who is, a very great scholar, who is an international figure. But you find on a very strange note, there are two people, while the world benefits from them in the multitudes, there are two people that tend to get deprived from this great scholar. One is his intimate companion, his intimate servant. Because of his extreme intimacy, he tends to get exposure to the weaknesses of that man. There's only one man, whether you were with him outwardly or in intimacy, that was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You walk out impressed. You walk out impressed, whether it was my mother Aisha who sat with him in his bed, or it was the Sahaba who sat with him in the battle. Anyway, you looked at that man, his colors was one, his story was clean, he was a transparent human. But I'm afraid every one of us, without exception, there is an image I can put before you, and I can create a scenario. You know, my wife always tells me, and I think she's right, she says, you sound more pious than you are. You sound more pious than you are. Perhaps I might frown, but I think she's justified. It's easy for me to thrill an audience and give you a wonderful talk. But then again, do I live up to it myself? I'm afraid no. So what is the dua? Allahumma astur anni aiba muallimi. Oh Allah, conceal the faults of my ustad. The riwayat is in Bukhari under the commentary of this ayah. Wa aqimis salata tarafayn nahari wa zulafan min al-layl. One person during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was engaged in business, and a woman came to purchase something. So he got attracted by the beauty of this woman. So he said, you want dates? Come inside the shop. I have a more superior quality. Now, he is a human. We all are human. I know my weakness and you know your weakness. And that is why I maintain one thing. That if I become exposed to the wrong of someone and I find him committing a wrong that I am doing, I must die with shame if I lose respect for that man. Because I am perpetrating the very same wrong. I am committing the same offense. I am guilty of, it's just that Allah hasn't exposed me. Allah hasn't exposed us. And that's His sheer mercy. So anyway, he calls that woman inside. He became tempted and he became attracted and he couldn't resist himself and he fell upon her and he kissed her. But then look at the subsequent remorse and regret. So he comes to Abu Bakr and he said, Inni qabbaltu imra'a. Oh Abu Bakr, you know what? I'm really devastated. I have killed a woman. I have kissed a woman. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, Ustur ala nafsik. وَلَا تُخْبِرْ أَحَدْ. Listen, repent to Allah, don't tell me, keep it a secret, and that's the end of it. And you know, the person had sincere regret. Just the other day, I had a phone call, and this brother phoned me, As-salamu alaykum, Manana. I said, yes. He said, I need advice, I've just committed zina. I was like shocked up. For a minute, I held that phone, I said, am I hearing correct? He says, I'm actually, my body is shivering, I have succumbed to a weakness in me, I have given in, what do I do? So Abu Bakr consoled him, comforted him, make tawbah and repent and don't tell me, why are you telling me also? But then the restlessness drives him to Umar. He comes to Umar, Umar says, Ustur ala nafsik, why are you telling me? Your forgiveness is between you and Allah. You know, make dua to Allah and Allah will forgive you. He comes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam repeats the very same thing. So we have been encouraged and exhorted that we learn to cover the faults. What is the benefit? Allah will conceal our faults in this world and in the akhirah. I mean, we see in this world, if it leads to so much embarrassment, And then let the media come to know of your wrong, and then you know what happens. Let the media pick up on that and be a prominent figure, and then they will go with it. They will go with it. It never ends. It just continues and continues. I mean, on my last trip coming back from America, I picked up the newspaper USA Today, and I sat down in the plane, and the headlines, what is it? School textbooks tiptoe around the Clinton scandal. Now, that is what the school children in the academic sphere will be learning, what had happened a few years ago. So if the media picks it up, we know what happens to it. Imagine the disgrace on the day of Qiyamah. Imagine the enormity and the extent and the gravity of the disgrace on the day of Qiyamah. Now let's look at the reverse side. Allah forbid. If we go and expose someone, what are the repercussions? What are the negative consequences? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, لا تغتابوا المسلمين. Don't backbite the believers. ولا تتبعوا عوراتهم. And don't expose their faults. فَإِنَّهُ مَنْ يَتَّبِعُ عَوْرَةَ أَخِيهِ. Because if you will start exposing the faults of your brother, then Allah will passionately expose your faults. And then the Prophet ﷺ says, وَمَنْ يَتَّبِعَ اللَّهُ عَوْرَتَهُ. If Allah decides and chooses to expose your faults, there's no piece of land that can give you shelter. Because Allah will disgrace you while you sit in the confines of your own house. And then one beyond that, the Prophet ﷺ says, the riwayat of Tirmidhi, مَنْ عَيَّرَ أَخَاهُ بِذَنْبٍ. One is you expose him. I must just mention, and I don't have the time to elaborate, there are certain times where you have to expose a person because he's not repenting from his wrong. And obviously he might trick someone else in business, so then it is a word of caution against his wrong, against his betrayal, and the object is not exposure, but rather to save someone. In a case of marriage, in a case of, you know, where a person has not repented from his wrong, then necessary precautions has to be taken. But a person has long repented, then obviously that's not the way forward. Nabi alayhi salam says, the one who taunts his brother of a crime that he has committed from which he has repented. And then you say, oh, that guy, oh, he's a womanizer, don't even talk of him. And these are common statements we make. That guy, oh, you want to talk to him, well, you must first find out if he's sober. You have to first find out if he's sober, then you can talk to him. Man ayyara akhahu bi dhanbin. The one who taunts his brother of a sin that he has repented from, you will not die till you don't commit the same, if not a worse crime. You will not die till you commit the same, if not a worse crime. And again, let me put on record then by saying, our fight is not with the adulterer and the adulteress, it's with adultery. Wallah, we love the thief and the thug, we hate the act of stealing. Wallah, we love the victor, we hate the act of victimization. The problem is with the offense and not the offender, the perpetration and not the perpetrator. So we don't have a problem with him, we have a problem with the act. We hate the action and not the person, not the perpetrator. Man ayyara akhahu, the one that will taunt a person. And brothers, you know, who are we to speak? And this is what I wanted. Last few weeks I've been involved in certain social cases which has made every hair on my body stand. I say this in the house of Allah. When a person phones me and says, this is the problem, this is the person, and we need you to intervene and arbitrate. And when you hear the name and the act, and you sit and think, Ya Allah, is there any pious person left on earth? But what I'm saying is, as Muslims, how do we react? What justification? You know, it's a lot of people make that statement, oh, your son, if my son has to take a drug, me, I will kick him out of the house. My brother, don't speak. You have children, you have grandchildren. If my daughter does, you have daughters in your house, I have children, how can we speak? What guarantee do I have for myself? Who am I to sit and condemn others? Listen to this incident. Two things. One was a simple, trivial example. There was two great Qirat, Imams of Qirat, Imam Yazidi and Imam Kisai. They one day met at Harun Rashid's place. So then Imam Kisai led the Salah, and he's a very great scholar in the Qiraat al-Sab'ah. When he commenced the Salah, he made a mistake in Surah Kafirun. So on the completion of the Salah, Imam Yazidi said, Subhanallah, a scholar of your caliber, the head of the Qiraat of Kufa, and you can make a mistake. Well, I guess then who is good? We all got to learn. He took it with a smile and he carried on. Sometime later they met again, and then the things change around. So now Imam Yazidi becomes the Imam. Then he starts stumbling in Surah Fatiha. He stumbles in Surah Fatiha. Obviously, he understood the repercussion when he completed his salah. Before you tell me, he said, let me sing the couplets to you. Before you tell me, let me sing it to you. La taqulu fatandim. Don't blurt before you regret. I will do this if my, who are we to speak? When the verse was revealed, وَالَّذِينَ يَرْمُونَ أَزْوَاجَهُمْ وَالَّذِينَ يَرْمُونَ الْمُحْصَنَاتِ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَأْتُوا بِأَرْبَعَةِ شُهَدَاءِ فَاجْلِدُوهُمْ ثَمَانِينَ جَلْدًا وَلَا تَقْبَلُوا لَهُمْ شَهَادَةً أَبَدًا. Allah said, those of you who accuse chaste women with the act of zina and fornication, and then cannot produce four witnesses to substantiate it, then they will be given 80 lashes. So if you find someone guilty of an act of immorality, you need constructive, solid evidence before you can, institute some claim against that woman that she is guilty of immorality. If you don't have four witnesses, then rather be silent. Rather be silent, but don't present in the court without four witnesses. When this verse was revealed, Sa'd ibn Ubadah, radiallahu anhu, the leader of the Ansar of the Medina, he said, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has these verses been revealed as you've said? Have I heard right? The Prophet said, Sa'd, do you doubt what I say? Then he looked at the Ansar, he said, what is your people's leader talking? So they said, O Nabi of Allah, no offense, I think you misread in him, Ya O Nabi of Allah. Then Sa'd ibn Mu'az came forward, he said, O Nabi of Allah, let me balance the air out. Let me tell Sa'd ibn Ubadah, sit down. Then he said, O Nabi of Allah, I fully agree what you said is correct. Those verses are divine. I do have an area of concern, and that is what I want to raise with you. If I come home and I find my wife, Allah forbid, hypothetically, if it's a strange woman that is committing the act of zina, I don't have four witnesses, I'll be quiet, but it won't bother me, I won't swallow blood in love. It's somebody else's wife. But if I come home and I find my wife perpetrating the act of zina, I don't have the rights to discipline her there. Is it expected of me to go and look for witnesses to expose and divulge the immorality of my partner? And in doing so, they will be done with their action. Have I heard this correct? Is this what Allah wants from us? So everybody was, great question, well taken, well merited. Indeed there is, the question stands by its definition. It is something that was, would raise eyeballs. They asked this question, and they asked it in absolute honesty. You know, sometimes you can sit and say, if a child ever does this here, never to know, or never did you cross your thoughts, that while you're saying if a child ever takes drugs, least knowing my brother, your son is taking drugs behind your back. So you very casually talking about it, if my wife ever does it, least knowing that's what she's doing behind your back. We don't know, and Allah dislikes that we expose our own sins, never mind others. لا يحب الله الجهر بالسوء من القول. Allah says, I will forgive every sin but the one who exposes his wrong. Because I cover up your wrong, I feel guilty for you, I conceal it, and you go and expose it, I will never forgive you. So Allah is uncomfortable when I expose my own wrong, which I might define as my personal prerogative. How can Allah be comfortable when I expose the wrongs of my fellow brothers and sisters? So anyway, this incident, this question is asked a week later. The Ansar are gripped with the same scandal. Hilal ibn Umayyah radiallahu anhu comes home after Isha, and he finds his wife involved with a strange man. And the news breaks out, and the Ansar drops their heads. They say, last week we were casually asking the question, today we don't know where to put our heads in society. It has happened amongst our own people. So that is my message. Let us learn to conceal, let us learn to cover, let us learn to encourage one another. Abu Abdullah al-Undulusi. And this incident, Allahu Akbar, you listen to this, brothers, then you realize, which one of us can claim? He was a great scholar of the second century. He had memarized the Quran, and over and above that, he had memarized 30,000 ahadith. He was based in Baghdad, which was the capital of the Islamic Empire. Allama Himyari makes mention of this incident in his famous kitab, Hayatul Haywan. He had in excess of 12,000 disciples. What a great person. Every man respected him, an absolutely accepted figure across the board. One day he was traveling, and in the company were the likes of Junaid Baghdadi and Shibli, who were great contemporaries. As they come to a locality in the second century, not long after the son of Prophethood had set, and a man of his caliber, so they come to a locality to make wuzu, and there are some young girls that come to this locality. Non-Muslim young girls. The Sheikh, as a human, his gaze falls on one of these girls and he is attracted. Just not attracted, he is infatuated. But obviously there are so many pious people around him, there is a social stigma, he enjoys a standing in society, so he cannot do what he really wants to do. His health starts deteriorating. They continue the journey. By the third day, the man was a different person. So one of the great scholars came to him and said, Sheikh Abdullah, things are not looking right. What is the problem? You're not eating, you're not speaking, you're not sleeping. He says, what can I tell you? How long am I going to hide my weakness? You know that girl was at the well, that young non-Muslim girl. I have been attracted to her and I just find myself being pulled towards her and I cannot contain myself any longer. They said, but oh Abdullah, a man of your caliber, 30,000 ahadith. You know, the whole of Baghdad, you have the following. Everybody turns to you, how can you? He says, I have actually felt like a bird has departed from my heart, meaning Tawfiq has actually flew away from me. Iman has actually left me. Now my brothers, I am at the mercy of what is dictated to me. I'm not in control of the situation. And at times you find when the devil comes and he puts that pressure and you succumb as if you are not in control and you are being controlled, literally like a child controls a car. You know, there is a clash between you, but there is some weakness that you just succumb and succumb and succumb. Anyway, he leaves the gathering and he goes back to that locality. Cutting a long story short, he goes to that girl and he says, I want to get married to you. She takes him to his father, to her father. He says, no problem, but you will have to forsake your faith. He says, I'm ready to abandon my iman. This man gives up his iman. I'm only mentioning this so that it gives me a shiver and it gives you a shiver. It conscientizes me and it awakens you, my brother. We cannot speak of anyone. If we haven't committed zina, consider it the favor of Allah. If we haven't taken a pill, consider it the favor of Allah. The society is vulnerable. The atmosphere is evil. You know, just like the weather doesn't differentiate. When it is cold, the elderly feel cold, the young feel cold, the wealthy feel cold, the poor feel cold. When the environment is evil, it doesn't differentiate. This is the house of a pious, this is the house of a learned. It takes all in its stride. It takes all in its stride, wallah. So anyway, he then abandons his iman. He gets married to this girl. This man had, you know, he had an animal and he used to graze pigs. He says, you will graze these animals and that is how you will live with me. This very great scholar then takes that very staff on which once upon a time he rested and addressed an audience of thousands. And today now he is grazing these animals. Days pass, weeks, months, they cry to Allah. And a year later, a later delegation comes to visit him. That listen, oh our Shaykh, you know, it's time you repent. It's time you repent. So when they come to him and they make dua to Allah Ta'ala and they speak to him, they ask him two questions. They say, listen, you had memorized the whole Quran. Now that you have forsaken Islam, do you remember any verse of it? He says, I remember one verse. وَمَن يُهِنِ اللَّهُ فَمَا لَهُ مِن مُكْرِمٍ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَفْعَلُ مَا يَشَاءُ. From the whole Quran, if anything stuck in my memory is this. What does it mean? When Allah disgraces you, nobody can honor you. That's what I have left. Nothing else. From the 30,000 ahadith, do you remember anything? I remember one hadith, man baddala deenahu faqtuluhu. When someone forsakes his iman, behead him. They cry to Allah, they beg Allah, and then Allah gives this man hidayat and he comes back. Someone asked him, this ordeal you went through, you think there's any apparent reason why you were put into this situation? He says, when we walked into that locality, I seen people engaged in the worship of some hopeless, useless objects. And I looked at them and I said, how silly of them, where's your brains? And a degree of pride came into me over what I did and I felt iman departing at that minute. This is a very, very sensitive issue. You are dealing with an independent being. You are not dealing with me and neither am I dealing with you. You are dealing with a being who is independent, who needs us not. We have to tread the sensitivity. Wallah, at times I feel difficult to even speak about it because there shouldn't be that slightest, thread of joy on the pain of others. I leave you with three incidents and I conclude my talk. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu is patrolling the streets of Medina. فَسَمِعَ سَوْتَ رَجُلٍ يَتَغَنَّى. He hears one person singing in the house. فَتَصَوَّرَ عَلَيْهِ. Sayyidina Umar scales the wall and he gets into the house and he says, يَا عَدُوَ اللَّهِ أَظَنَنْتَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَسْتُرُكَ وَأَنْتَ فِي مَعْصِيَةٍ. Oh evil, wretched, nasty man, you blatantly disobey Allah and you thought nobody will know about it. Now look at this man. He was involved in his wrong, but look at the consciousness of Allah in the back of his mind. He says, La ta'jal alayya ya Amir al-Mu'mineen. Amir al-Mu'mineen, point taken. You are right in what you said, but before you make a decision, let me remind you. In akun asaytu Allah fi wahida, faqad asaytu Allah fi thalath. If my crime is one and that is singing, let me remind you, your crimes are three. Umar, I did one wrong, you did three. تجسست وقد نهي عن التجسس. You came searching for my faults when Allah emphatically told you in the Quran, don't search for the faults of your brothers. So Umar, before you discipline me, I'll take on my wrong. But let me remind you, you have perpetrated this. You don't have the rights to walk into my private environment. I'm guilty of my wrong. It's between me and my creator. Number two, tasawwarta alayya. You have scaled the wall. Allah says, wa'atul buyuta min abawabiha. Enter from the door and don't scale the walls. And number three, Allah said, la tadkhulu buyutan ghayra buyutikum hatta tasta'nisu. Enter with prior consent. You just came barging through. Umar looks down, he says, you're right. If you forgive me, I overlook you. Look at the discussion. Again, Umar was motivated by concern. But look at what this man told him. Then a second incident. Sayyidina Umar is walking in the streets of Medina. With him is Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. He sees a light in the distance. فَأَتْبَعَ الذَّوْءَ. He follows the light. As he gets to the دَخَلَ دَارًا, he enters into a house. The riwayat is in Kanzul Ummal. He tells Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, you wait outside. When he enters the house, فَإِذَا شَيْخٌ جَالِسٌ. There is an elderly man sitting. بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ الشَّرَابٌ. There is bottles of wine. وَقَيْنَةٌ. And a young seductive girl singing in a melodious voice. Umar enters, this man doesn't realize it. فَلَمْ يَشْعُرْ حَتَّى هَجَمَ عَلَيْهِ عُمَرْ. When Umar walks in, he says, مَا أُرِيتُكَ اللَّيْلِ مَنْذَرْ أَقْبَحْ مِنْ شَيْخٍ يَنْتَذِرُ أَجَلَهُ. I swear by Allah, I haven't seen a more wicked sight. A man that is about to die and is drinking wine with young girls around him. So he looks at Umar with a stern gaze and he says, مَا صَنَعْتَ أَنْتَ أَقْبَحْ. Umar, but what you've done is worse than what I've done. I've done a wrong. Again, you have come searching for my faults, which you know is wrong. And number two, you've entered without permission. Umar felt so guilty. Come the riwayat, he bites onto his clothes and he walks out of the house and he starts crying. And then he says, Umar, what is wrong with you? You know, this man might be thinking, he addresses himself and he says, this man might be thinking, Ya Allah, I did a wrong. It was between me and you. Now Umar knows about it. I guess the world will know about it. Umar is telling this to himself. And then he cries, he comes and he sits down. He doesn't tell Abdullah ibn Mas'ud anything. A period passes, this man stops attending the gathering of Umar. One day he sees this elderly man walk in, فَجَلَسَ فِي أُخْرَيَاتِ النَّاسِ. He sits in the rear of the gathering. Umar said, عَلَيَّ بِهَذَا الشَّيْخِ. This old man that's walked in, just bring him forward. People tell him, Ajib, Umar is calling you, come forward. فَقَامَ وَهُوَ يَرَى أَنَّ عُمَرْ سَيَسُوءُهُ. He stands up and he says, There goes it. Today is my day. Today is doomsday. As he comes close, Umar says, أُدْنُ مِنِّي. Come close. أُدْنُ مِنِّي. Comes close. حَتَّى أَجْلَسَهُ بِجَنْبِهِ. He makes him sit next to him. Then he says, أَدْنِ مِنِّي أُذُنَكْ. Now bring your ears close to me. So he brings his ears close to Umar. Umar then whispers in his ears, وَالَّذِي بَعَثَ مُحَمَّدًا بِالْحَقِّ رَسُولًا مَا أَخْبَرْتُ أَحَدًا بِمَا رَأَيْتُ مِنْكَ وَلَبْنَ مَسْعُودٍ فَإِنَّهُ كَانَ مَعِيدٍ. Let me just tell you, everybody is watching, but there's dead silence. Umar is in control of the gathering. I swear by that Allah who made Muhammad a prophet. You know, that day I seen you till today. Allah's qasam, I mentioned it to nobody, not even Abdullah ibn Mas'ud who was with me. So he tells Umar, okay, Umar, you said it. Now you give me your ears. So Umar puts his ears. He says, وَلَا وَالَّذِي بَعْثَ مُحَمَّدًا بِالْحَقِّ رَسُولًا مَا عُدْتُ إِلَيْهِ حَتَّى جَلَسْتُ مَجْلِسِي هَذَا. Umar, let me also swear by that same Allah who has sent Muhammad as a prophet. That was the last day I took a tot of wine, and that was the last day I heard the seductive voice of a girl. When Umar heard this, he became ecstatic. The riwayat says, he stood up and he started saying, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. The crowd said, what's happening with Umar? But he did not mention it to anyone. It was a secret between them, and that is how he left it. Really, brothers, let us learn to bury the faults of one another. Someone told Umar that Abu Mihjan Thaqafi is drinking wine. Brothers, this is a serious thing. Bear me out with time. Wallah, it's critical. This ummah needs to be united and not fragmented. We need to look at measures that we strengthen our bond. Someone told Umar that Abu Mihjan Thaqafi is drinking wine. So Umar said, come three of us, let's go. They walk into the house, there's one person and he's busy enjoying himself. So Abu Mihjan Thaqafi says, Umar, but you don't have the rights. You just don't have the authority. This is a wrong I'm doing between me and Allah. You don't have the rights to come and search for my faults. So he looks at his other two companions. They said, Sadaqa ya Amirul Mu'mineen. Oh Umar, we respect you, but I think what he said is right. He walks out of there, he apologizes. One person comes to Umar, the riwayat is in Tibrani. He said, Oh Umar, I had a daughter. I buried her during the practices of ignorance. Then فَاسْتَخْرَجْنَاهَا قَبْلَ أَن تَمُوتْ. She was about to die and I pulled her out. فَأَدْرَكَتْ مَعَنَا الْإِسْلَامِ. She then accepted Islam and she has become a Muslim. Then she committed a crime because of which she was about to be killed. So she got so depressed, فَأَخَذَتِ الشَّفْرَةِ لِتَذْبَحْ نَفْسَهَا. She took a knife, she was about to slit her throat. And I caught her in time, فَدَعْوَيْنَاهَا. We cured her, حَتَّى بَرِئَتْ. Now she's recovered. Then she's repented and she's become a noble woman. Now there are people that are proposing. Is it my obligation to expose her past? Or because she has repented, do we look at the journey from here onwards? What a critical question. May Allah reward them that they discussed it, so we have the way forward. Umar radiallahu anhu said, وَاللَّهِ لَئِنْ أَخْبَرْتَ بِشَأْنِهَا لَأَجْعَلَنَّكَ نَكَالًا لِأَهْلِ الْأَمْصَارِ. You dare expose the wrong of this girl, and I will beat you in such a way that it will serve as an example for everyone. Privilege her with the nikah of a dignified girl. بَلْ أَنْكِحَا نِكَاحَ الْعَفِيفَةَ الْمُسْلِمَةِ. She has repented, don't expose her. I leave you with this verse of the Quran. What does Allah say? يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اجْتَنِبُوا كَثِيرًا مِّنَ الظَّنِ. Avoid entertaining negative thoughts. Now look at the sequence of the Quran. I've only touched on my topic. Allah says, don't entertain negative thoughts. So you see him going there, I wonder what they're doing. That is wrong. The Prophet says, don't entertain it. Now after you've entertained it, then you want to probe it. Now you want to probe it. And then when you find that they are guilty of the wrong that you thought, you rejoice that your assumption was correct. Allahu Akbar. Instead of feeling hurt that my brother is doing the wrong, I told you. You thought I was lying. I got evidence. I got evidence, my brother. And then what happens? وَلَا يَغْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا. Then you start circulating it. Allah says, don't entertain the negative thought. Don't search for the fault and don't promote it. We make dua to the Almighty Allah. He give us the tawfiq and the ability that we conceal the faults of every person. And we beg of His extreme kindness. Just as you have concealed us up to this day. And you have kept the face for us in society, Allah. These bondsmen, if they know me, Allah, I guess they would have never come close, Allah. As you have maintained our honor, conceal our wrong in this world and akhirah. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.
Syntech CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.